This is the word of God found in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. Deuteronomy 18, starting with verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. You may find it helpful to know that this very scripture is quoted twice in the book of Acts. It's quoted by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 3, and it's quoted by the deacon and martyr Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And sometimes I encourage you to go to those chapters in Acts and read it, and you'll be able to tell in the context that the one spoken of here that's called that prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the text that we read, God and Moses both say that prophet that's coming will be, Moses says, like unto me, and God says to Moses, like unto thee. That in some sense, the Lord Jesus Christ will be like unto Moses. Now, I think as you read the scripture, you'll find that Jesus Christ is far greater than Moses. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of Moses and the savior of Moses. So he's far greater in many aspects. But it's still an instruction to us to consider, how is Jesus Christ like Moses? I want to just tell you the setting of this particular scripture before I go into that. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And all those books cover a different span of time. The book of Genesis covers about 2,000 years from the creation and the creation of the world and the creation of Adam and Eve, all the way to the death of Joseph. Is quite a long span of time. And Moses wrote that. And then Moses wrote the book of Exodus, and that covers, in addition to the period of slavery in Egypt, it covers 80 years of Moses' own life. So Moses is just writing history in the book of Genesis. When he gets to Exodus, it's history and autobiography. And he writes of the first 80 years of his own life. When you get to Leviticus, that covers a period of about 1 year when he and the children of Israel are encamped around Mount Sinai. Then you get to the book of Numbers. Numbers is about 40 years when they're wandering in the wilderness between the time Moses is 80 and they leave Sinai and come up to the land of Canaan. Because they wouldn't enter into the land of Canaan because of unbelief, they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So Genesis, a span of about 2,000 years. Exodus covers 80 years of Moses' life. Leviticus, about a year. And then Numbers, about 40 years. Deuteronomy is the second speaking. It's when Moses and the children of Israel arrive at the land of Canaan again, the second time. And they're encamped in the plains of Moab. And the Lord blesses Moses to speak the law to the children of Israel one more time. So the book of Deuteronomy may even just be a period of several days. It's just right there before Moses dies. He speaks to Israel. And he reminds them of this. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. All right, he's coming from among you, Israelites. This is going to be an Israelite that the Lord will raise up. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. So God's going to raise up that prophet, the great prophet. He's going to be like unto Moses. He's going to be an Israelite. Just think, and I won't be able to cover the whole subject in a lifetime. I wouldn't be able to. But just think of a few ways that the Lord Jesus Christ is like Moses. Do you remember what was going on in Egypt when Moses was born? Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had issued an edict that they kill all the boy babies among the Hebrews. That was the command at that time. Do you remember what happened shortly after the Lord Jesus Christ was born? Herod, the local king there, commanded that they kill all the children 2 years old and under in the city of Bethlehem in order to prevent the one that was known as the King of the Jews. So in both the birth of Moses and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, killing innocent children was going on. When Moses was born, in order to keep him from being slain, his mother, Jochebed, acting in faith, she took Moses and wrapped him up and put him in a little basket that was floatable. The scripture calls it an ark. And she goes and lays him in the flags at the edge of the river, that is the reeds. And so Moses is there going to the very river of Egypt, Nile there, in order to escape this terrible thing that's going on in Egypt with the killing of the male children. What happens with the Lord Jesus Christ? An angel comes and warns Joseph, Mary's husband, that they will seek to take the life of Jesus Christ. And Joseph and Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ escape to where in order to avoid this slaughter that's going to take place? They go to Egypt. And then Moses over here, having been put in the river of Egypt in a little floatable basket, an ark, he is found by Pharaoh's daughter, who opens up the ark, and Moses cries and she picks it up and says, I'm going to keep this baby. I mean, that's not what the scripture says. She decides to raise Moses as her own son, and he didn't have a name that she knew about. I don't even know if they gave him another name. She gave him a name. Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses, which means drawn out, because she drew him out of the water. So there you got a child that's born when they're killing children, that is taken to the river of Egypt in order to escape death, and who is actually named drawn out of the water. The Lord Jesus Christ is born when they're killing children, actually escapes there to Egypt in order to avoid that particular onslaught. And then when it comes to years and it's time for him to begin his ministry, I know this is later, he goes down to the River Jordan and instructs John the Baptist to baptize him. And John the Baptist baptizes him, and you know what John the Baptist reports? He hears the voice of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He sees the picture of the Holy Spirit manifest as a dove descending, and straightway the body of the Son of God, who is the Son of Man, rises out of the water. Moses was named Moses because he was drawn out of the water. When did the Lord begin his ministry? When he came forth and God drew him out of the water. Now that's just the start. Moses, when he obeyed God and went back out of the land of Midian, and he comes to Pharaoh, he tells Pharaoh to let his people go, and God shows signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. He causes the first one that he shows after his rod turns into a serpent and he takes it up again. The first sign and wonder that Moses shows in the presence of all Egypt is he turns the water of the River Nile into blood. Do you remember what the first miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did? It's in John chapter 2. He goes to a wedding and he changes water into wine. Amen. And then Moses proceeds to show other signs and wonders. A plague of frogs, a plague of flies, a plague of lice, a plague of sickness on the cattle, a plague of locusts, a plague of darkness. The Lord, and none of them set Israel free. They're not intended to. The Lord Jesus Christ begins his ministry. He heals the blind. He heals the lame. He heals the deaf. He heals the leper. He raises the dead. None of those are what set his people free. What Moses does and what the Lord Jesus Christ does in those miracles, it shows that God is blessing them, leading them, and that the presence of God is sending a message for God's people to pay attention. But finally, after all those signs and wonders, Moses comes to the last one, and it does set the children of Israel free. He tells Pharaoh, he says, if you don't let them go, the Lord considers Israel his firstborn. He's going to smite the firstborn of Egypt. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He would not let the people go. And so we have the day of Passover. That's when the Lord instructed Moses and the children of Israel to take a lamb without spot or blemish, a male, and to slay that lamb and not break a bone of the lamb in slaying it. And yet its blood had to be shed, and the blood smitten on the doorpost and the lintels of all the houses of Israel. And they were to eat that lamb not raw, not boiled. It had to be roasted with fire. And that night, as they put the blood on the doorpost and they ate that lamb and they didn't break a bone and they gathered there, the destroyer came through Egypt and slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh, in anguish, called for Moses, well, sent word to Moses and said, get out of Egypt tonight. And the whole nation of Israel went out free that night. Amen. Passover. The Lord Jesus Christ, after healing the blind and the lame and the deaf and raising the dead and stilling the waters and turning water into wine and all of those things that he did, finally came to a point where he suffered himself to be taken by those who hated him, tried unjustly, tried again before Pilate, silent, didn't speak a word in his own defense, pronounced not guilty by Pilate, who said, I find no fault in him, and yet delivered for execution on the cross. And he hung there on the cross, and he bled, and he died. Do you know what feast the Jewish people were celebrating the day the Lord was crucified? It was Passover. And you know what happened when he suffered there in the darkness? And he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished. All of God's children, you, child of God, went free from sin. And because of that, the Lord has broken your death so that you have life everlasting. Does that mean that you won't physically die? No, you'll physically die. But when you do, child of God, physically die, your spirit will go immediately into the presence of God and there live in joy and peace until one day, the day of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and he's raising the bodies of his children from the dead, glorified, shining bright and powerful to be reunited with their spirit. And so body, soul, and spirit, all of God's children will be intact in glory, in the presence of God, to live forever, and death will be swallowed up in victory. Now then, when the Lord went to the cross there as the Passover lamb, and just think of this, the Lord called himself in John chapter 10 the door of the sheepfold. He also is called our great high priest. He's also called the Lamb of God. So in the days of Moses, when they took the blood of the Passover lamb, and they took his blood, and they, as the children of God were instructed by Moses and Aaron, Aaron was the first high priest, they were instructed to do that, and they put the blood of this lamb on the doorpost and lintels. Can you not see Jesus Christ in all of that? He is the high priest that brought the blood. He is the lamb whose blood was shed. And he is the door of the sheepfold where the blood was placed. He's all of that. And so the Lord saved his people there on the cross. And then this very one that is mentioned here in Deuteronomy 18. Moses, after they came out of Egypt, had gone up on Mount Sinai. And the reason he went up on Mount Sinai is because of the people of Israel said, they had heard the voice of God speaking the Ten Commandments. And they said, we don't want to hear the voice of God anymore. We're scared. If we hear the voice of God like this anymore, we're probably going to die. We can't handle it. Did God say, well, those ungrateful people, they ought to want to hear my voice, and why won't they? No, God said, Moses, the people of Israel have well spoken. So Moses, you come up on Mount Sinai, and you hear my voice, and you get the tablets of the law, and then you take it down and give it to Israel. Now that was just the tablets of the law on Mount Sinai. And a physical fire and smoke up there. And Moses, because God had sent him to do that, when the children of Israel were unable to go up on Sinai, he went up for them and he brought down the tablets of the law. We were not able to go up on Mount Calvary and satisfy God's justice. Or Mount Golgotha. The Latin name is Calvary. The Hebrew name is Golgotha. They both mean the same thing in English. They mean the place of a skull. That's what the mountain where the Lord and the two thieves were crucified. We were not able to go up there. I mean, anybody can go up on a particular location and perhaps die. But nobody could go up there and receive God's law and satisfy God's justice but one person. Just as Moses went up on Sinai to receive tablets of the law, the Lord Jesus Christ went up on Mount Calvary, up on that cross, to receive the entire law, its justice, its righteousness, and its penalty. And when he finished receiving it, he said, "It is finished." And he, as Moses, brought the second set of tablets down intact, and they were kept in the ark for Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied God's justice in his law, and he keeps his God's law in himself intact on our behalf out of love and grace. Can you see how Jesus Christ is sort of like Moses? And yet he's greater than Moses. As we said, Moses went up to Sinai to get the tablets of the law. The Lord Jesus Christ went up on Mount Calvary to get the actual law of God. And in the book of Hebrews, there's a little comparison of Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Hebrews chapter 3, and it mentions a difference. We've been comparing, so we've been looking at similarities. But here is a difference. Hebrews 3, starting with verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." If you want not only to be a child of God, but to rest in that truth, And have that peace of knowing that you're a child of God, hold fast to your confidence, firm to the end, knowing this, that God holds fast to you because of the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will not lose you. How many times do I quote this? But let me quote it again. These are the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, verses 37 through 39. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him which hath sent me. And this is the will of the Father which hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." Now then, at the end of Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19, the Lord says, "And whosoever will not hear his voice," speaking of Jesus Christ, "the Lord will require it of him." It doesn't mean he's going to cast any of his children away to hell. It just means that you better listen to Jesus Christ, because the Lord will chastise his children who don't listen to Jesus Christ. Remember what happened to those that didn't listen to Moses. Many of them suffered plagues, many of them suffered serpents, many of them suffered wandering in the wilderness. It was pretty serious not to listen to Moses. It's even more serious not to listen to Jesus Christ. If you would know peace, if you would increase the joy in your life, do the things that are commanded of us by Jesus the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy God, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for going up upon that mountain and receiving the justice of God's holy law in our behalf and keeping it, Lord, and therefore keeping us. Father, come quickly. We look forward to the coming of our Savior Jesus. And we pray, Father, that while we're waiting for his return, we'll be good to each other. We'll be faithful in your house as servants, Lord. Help us not to be proud and not willing to do what you would command us. Help us, Lord, to be in gratitude and love, humble servants to thee. Lord, help us to be bold in doing what you bid us to do. Father, we beg for revival. Revive us as individuals. Revive us as a church. Revive thy people in thy churches throughout the world, Lord. And if it's your will, have mercy on this nation. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law, and that thy gospel would have free course, Lord, and that as your children see more of your goodness, they themselves will change from glory to glory and daily become more like their Savior, our Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all these things.